Let's read this passage from Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and starting to read at verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 70 or 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. That's exciting, isn't it? What do you think their message was? Well, he told them to say, yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near you. And I guess included in the message must have been, the king is coming. Right? The kingdom of God is near you. But because it says here, to ahead of him, to every town and place where he was about to go, or about to come. So the Lord Jesus is coming. And these two in twos, that was surely their message. The kingdom of God. But the king himself is coming. And he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to go and send out workers into his harvest field. Go. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you, heal the sick who are there, and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Gerasim. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No. You'll go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father. And no one knows who the Father is except the Son. And those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. You know, it's very remarkable to me that I've been given this scripture to speak on this morning, because it kind of ties up with my experience, which is kind of a bit humbling and rather amazing. And as many of you know, I visit ships with a mission called SCFS, which is the Seafarers Christian Friends Society. And we share the love of Jesus on board the ships with seafarers who are a long way from home and who are, have all sorts of troubles, like the rest of us, of course, but perhaps concentrated into a small area usually, because if you're living with the same 20 other people for 9 months at a time without seeing many others, you can imagine, you know, in your circumstances, you know, with your set of people around you, and if they sort of press on upon you, we're sort of, we all suffer from something called sin, I suppose. It's the you know, the selfishness that grips us, and the way that the enemy oppresses us. And everybody needs the love and redemption of the Lord Jesus. You know that, don't you? And I know that. I think at this stage I might show you something that we often do with the seafarers, because sometimes you have very little time with them. They're very busy on the ship, and we usually go on board when it's their lunchtime, and sometimes they just want to eat, and sometimes they're not interested, as some of these towns that that Jesus sent the disciples to, and they had to even shake the dust of the town that sticks to our feet, wipe off against you. That's a kind of a serious thing. But the good news of the gospel divides people, and there are some who are not interested, of course. But sometimes we have a very short time, and so we've devised a few little, well, we haven't devised them, but we've got a few little things that perhaps help concentrate the gospel into. And I've brought this here this morning. Now, this is, I've never used this on a ship, because this is a big version of a small version that I use on the ship. So bear with me. And I'd like to show you something fairly quick. It's sort of like a big Rubik's Cube, as you can imagine. I'll just get it in the right place, because somebody put it way wrong. Right. Good. Okay. So we have a little cube, a bit like this, and this is to show you very quickly something that's very interesting and true. So that represents God living in the light. God lives in light that's unapproachable, and it says that no one can really see God without being blinded. You remember Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus? Blinded by the light. And that represents you and me. And guess what the black is?
Sin.
Sin. And the things that so easily stop, but prevent a relationship with God. And make a, you see that? Like a gap between God and us. But you know what? God loves us. And he wants to do something about the gap. But we can't manage to get from this side to that side because the sin, it says, which so easily entangles us. And it spoils, as sin always does. Spoils relationships, most particularly the relationship between God and us. And so it had to be something from God's side that would be done, because we can't from our side. It's like trying to lift yourself up with your own bootlaces. You can't do it. And so God did something wonderful. He sent somebody who never was affected by sin. Yes, he was in the world, but not of it. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lived an amazing life like nobody else has ever lived. And yet was crucified on a Roman cross, not for the wrong things that he'd done, but for the wrong things that you and I have done. And he was taken down from the cross. He really died. He was put in a tomb, and a massive stone was rolled across the entrance. It was sealed and guarded by Roman soldiers. His disciples, his followers, all ran away, and everybody thought, that's the end of it. But 3 days later, he rose again, proving that God had accepted the price that he paid for sin, and thereby making a new way that we can come to God. A new way, not by our own righteousness, not by trusting in our own good works, but by trusting in the reality of the fact that he died on the cross to pay for your sins and mine, and making this new way that it's possible, not automatically happen, but that it's possible for you and me to come to the living God. In fact, the Lord Jesus himself invites us. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm coming again to receive you to myself. The alternative would be to pay for our own sins in hell. And why would you do that when somebody has paid such a high price? But you know, it's not anything automatic. You know, God isn't into automation in the way that we are. You know that, don't you? Why? Because he loves you and he wants a personal relationship with you. And the wonderful thing is that that's possible through the Lord Jesus. But the big question is, will you accept his invitation? Because if you don't accept his invitation, the only alternative is to pay for your sins yourself. You see how it comes home to you as an individual. Will you accept what God has done in Jesus Christ? Will you believe that he died for your sins? Will you believe that he rose from the dead, that you might be set free from your sins? Are you willing to trust him now? Are you willing to make that decision? If there's anybody here, I mean, I don't know your hearts. You know your heart. You might have come here for years and never really received Jesus Christ into your heart and life. Never really repented of your sins. That would be an awful thought, wouldn't it? But it's possible, because our hearts are so deceptive. I'm learning. My own heart can deceive me. But the word of God is sure and firm. And what Jesus has done lasts forever. So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, now's the time. Now is the time. Because if you do, God has promised something wonderful. Promised to give you a new heart. Take away that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. A heart that longs, that is joined by the Holy Spirit to the heart of God. You know, the heart of God is love. And God has promised to give his Holy Spirit. Jesus said, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask, to those who've been cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus? So that will give you a new way to communicate with God in prayer. To be conscious that God hears and answers prayer when it's prayed in his will and by the power of the Holy Spirit. New way to listen to his word through the Bible, through reading God's word, to really change your life, that the Bible might become living, not just a book to study. I mean, of course it is that, but much more.
the very living words of God. New friendships with people of all different nations who've put their trust in Jesus. From all different sorts of people. You know, on the ships we meet, in a year we probably meet 100 or more different nationalities. But nationalities count for something. But you know what? The Lord Jesus has saved people from all different sorts of nationalities and made them one in Him. And a new message to go out to the whole world. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the message in a box. Not just for seafarers, but for you this morning as well. So I thought I'd share you that. Now then, if that's touched your heart, and if you're not really sure whether the Lord Jesus is dwelling in your heart and faith, I would like to pray for you. In fact, I'd like to pray with you. Maybe we'll leave it till the end of the service if the Lord hasn't come before then. You know what? We don't know when He's coming. But we know things are getting worse in the world. And as somebody mentioned already this morning in prayer, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. When you see these things start to happen, wars, rumours of wars, earthquakes, all of which are seeming to be happening in greater and greater intensity, then look up. Look up. Because your salvation draws near. So, to carry on, the Lord Jesus has sent us. I mean, why should He choose anybody like me? I'm an old man. But hey, old people, be encouraged. I want to encourage you this morning. Especially with Moses. You remember Moses? He was 80 years old when God called him back to Egypt to lead the people out. 80 years old. Hands up. Who's over 80? Yeah, well, just bear in mind what the Lord might do. Your name might not be Moses, but He might have something extra special for you. He doesn't, you know, until our time is ready for Him to take us home, He's got something special. I don't think the Lord ever intends people to, I mean, I'm retired, but, you know, I haven't got enough time in the day. And I'm not yet 80, but not too far away. Few years ago. Anyway, but no, be encouraged. Be encouraged because your outward strength might be wasting away, but inwardly, the Spirit of God can give you strength just as He can give to a young man or a woman. Or. You see, our God is great. Anyway, let's carry on because we've come on the ships, I believe, to a time of harvest. And you know what? It's a long time ago, but I used to work on a farm. And harvest is hard work. It is. It's hard work. And it's difficult to get enough people to help because it comes all at once. In this country in particular, you know, you have to dodge the rain and everything else. So getting the harvest in is most important because otherwise it'll just rot in the fields. And it's urgent, but it's difficult to get people to come because they have to just come at the right time. I mean, I'm involved in helping to get volunteers to visit the ships, and it's tricky because, you know, everybody's busy and okay, they're free at weekends, but there's a limited number of ships that come in at the weekends, and you can have loads of people on ships at the weekends, and that's fine. But what about all those ships that come in through the week? And this was what gripped my soul when I first started this work 13 years ago, that there were lots of ships coming in on certain days that nobody was reaching out to. So I dropped another day from everyday work and went to visit ships on that particular day. But it needs the call of the Lord. And just maybe, the Lord is calling somebody here today to to visit you. Maybe you've got a little bit of time during the week, and you could, you think, well, you know, it's a wide open door at the moment. We don't know how long it's going to be open for, but we have seen lots of people come to Jesus this last 2 years, or year even. Lots of people. Why? I don't know why, really. Well, I think it's because we are in the last days. There is an urgency. So I'm not here to just get you worked up. I'm here to challenge and to bring the word of God. Because in our mission, the Lord, I'm very conscious that the Lord has sent us. And I mean, you know, for many years, two or three of us, or sometimes I was on my own, visiting ships. Now, we've got a team of about 10 who are all available at weekends, but not in the week. So just bear that in mind. If anybody here has got some time during the week and you feel that call of God on your life, then don't do nothing about it. Just come and see me afterwards. Anyway, enough of that. Oh, just one more. Just give you a sort of a little idea of how things are going in reality. So this week, I mean, I go over to Portsmouth usually once or twice a week. But this week I've visited ships three times. And on Wednesday, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, there was a little ship at Cowes and bringing or taking grain to Southern Ireland, and I really didn't want to go because I'd visited a ship in Cowes the week before, and they were mainly Russian and Ukrainian crew, which are wonderful people, but always a bit more hard work than the Filipino crews. Okay, so I'm not biased against people, because it's people of all nations, okay, that come to Jesus. But English people and Russian people and Ukrainian people are often harder work to get to know, because so many of them feel, you know, and it's a reflection on us as well, that you know, we've got everything, that we're okay, we're not too bad. Whereas, you know, if it's like an all Filipino crew, I take, as you know, many of you knit woolly hats, and we're so grateful for stuff that's given to us to take on board for the seafarers, because we do care for the whole person. Okay, it is their spiritual needs that I'm really, really concerned about, but we do care for their physical needs as well, They love these woolly hats that you knit. Brilliant. Look at this. Yeah, look. Yeah, amazing, really. You know, we're so grateful for everybody who prays. And you know, because although it's a few of us that actually go, there's a whole army of people praying and supporting us in different ways. And I thank God for that. And thank you as well. So, anyway, I was not that keen to go on this ship, but the Lord put it on my heart that I got to go. So I sent a message to the agent saying, yes, I'm coming. He said, don't come until 4 o'clock, because the tide was low then, because the ladder had been just about vertical. That's another thing you can pray for. The old knees are not so strong as they were, and getting up steep ladders is not always easy, especially when it's, you know, three stories, 33 steps up, and it's quite steep, and yeah, and you've got a heavy load on your back and books and stuff. So pray for my safety, won't you, and those with us. So anyway, 4 o'clock, he said, yes. And so I wrote to him. I said, by the way, what nationalities are there on board? And he sent me a message back saying, it's an all Filipino crew. I thought, oh, praise God. So I went and got onto the ship. And he did say, oh, and there's one female. thought, well, that's unusual on that sort of ship. We visit cruise ships as well, and obviously there's lots of all the cabin staff are ladies, and many others, and some of the officers as well are ladies on the cruise ships. But it's fairly rare on the commercial ships for ladies. So I thought to myself, well, they've probably got a lady cook or something like that on the ship. But anyway, when I got on board, it was the chief officer, was the lady. So there we are. That shows how wrong I can be, doesn't it? They welcomed me on board. And I'd got with me a children's Bible, a very sort of, or Bible stories. Now, we get these, I got this particularly because our port chaplain up in Montrose in Scotland visits a lot of these little ships that come down here, and some of them come to Cowes. And he's a retired teacher, so he's like an intelligent man, not like me, just an ordinary person. And he said that you know, that the Filipinos need to improve their English, being a teacher. And he said, so what he's done, he's bought these children's Bibles, and he gives them to the Filipino guys and girls, and he says, this is for your children. But in order to get used to reading it to your children, I want you to read it to each other. So you know, they'll be on board for 6 to 9 months. And he says, you must read it to each other to get used to the stories. Well, some of the ships have really taken that on. And on one of these little ships, the captain, he actually reads it to the whole crew, then passes it on. And somebody in the rest of the crew carries on the reading. And they've started these Bible studies on board. And of course, time, always difficult on a ship. You know, they've got a limited amount of time, so what the captain, who is a Christian on this particular ship, what he's done is they have a safety drill every week. They have to have a safety drill, so he's added the Bible study onto the safety drill, half an hour on the end of the safety drill, because it's safety for their souls. So and that's how they do it. And the crew have got so keen on reading this Bible that they all take it in turns, and they not only all read a story, but they'll give a little exposition on it. And the crew, that's seven on that ship, so it's not that many. But they've really got into this. So we've been sort of replicating this on a couple of ships. And so I'd got one of these Bibles. I took it out and I gave it to the chief officer, who was a lady, and I said to her, are you married? Have you got children? And she said, no, but my partner's got nephews and nieces. I would love to have that. I said, well, there are conditions attached to it. And she said, oh, what are they? I said, well, you've got to read it to the crew. Oh, she said, there's time, it's difficult. And so I told her what this other captain did. And she thought, oh, wow, okay. And meanwhile, the captain had come down, and he was sort of up for that. Well, I then went down into the mess room, and the captain gathered all the crew there. There was seven of them. And they had just, they were very interested in the Bibles and the books, the Christian books that I brought. And I'd spoken to them. I did the Evangelii Cube three times. I did, and when the captain came in, they said to me, come on, you must do it again for the captain. So we did it again for the captain. And they had just come through the RSC last week. And you know what? That storm, there were 21 meter waves. Just imagine that. That's probably twice as high as this building. 21 meter waves, and God had kept them safe through that. I said, look, we must spend some time thanking God for that. With all the crew there, we prayed together, and I thanked God for keeping them safe, for bringing them safely there, and that they could hear the good news. You know, God's mercy is great, isn't it? It's very great. And several hearts were touched on that ship. So, praise God, that's just a little... it doesn't happen like that every time, of course. Sometimes it's like the opposite. They just don't want to know you. There is a harvest going on. That the fields are white, but the workers are few. I was supposed to take somebody else with me on Wednesday, but he couldn't make it in the end. You know, the first two letters of the gospel are G-O. And Jesus commands us to go. So if the Lord is speaking to your heart, whether it's, it might not be to ships, it might be to your neighbours, it might be to somebody who you don't really like. You know, how often God uses that, doesn't he? Somebody you don't really like. And you think, I'm struggling to love that person. Well, you know, the love of Christ is greater than that. And if the love of Christ is filling your heart, he might send you to unexpected places. Anyway, how are we going? Oh, golly, we're about time, aren't we? A bit more. Well, the other part of this passage, this wonderful passage, where, you know, he sends out these 72 and they come back with such joy because the power of the name of the Lord Jesus is wonderful. And you know what? I don't want to make a big thing of this, but we've seen people wonderfully healed and delivered from the enemy's power on the ships. Why? Not because of us at all, but because of the power of the name of the Lord Jesus. And his name, although dishonoured in the world, is so powerful. So when we sing, Jesus is the name we honour. It's not just, let it not just be in words, but let it be in actions as well. That we might... Not. I don't say use his name, but be associated with his name. After all, you've been baptized. If you've been baptized, you've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. His name is above every name. And your name associated with his name. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Well, they said, even the demons submit to us in your name. And he says, well, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. This is a little preview of what is going to happen. Because, you know, Satan still has influence in heaven. Whether you know that. But there's a time coming when he and his angels will be totally cast out of that, down to earth. And that will be fearsome. But in the meantime, let's keep trusting in the name of the Lord Jesus. And he gives them additional power, it seems. I've given you authority, he says, to trample on snakes and scorpions, overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice in this. That's not the main thing. You know, so many of the people followed Jesus because they wanted to see the works of power. But that wasn't actually the main thing. What's the main thing then? He says, don't rejoice, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Oh, friends, that's much better than anything that you could do in the Lord's service. It's wonderful. But, you know, that scripture's come back to me again and again where Jesus said, you know, after you've done God's will, say, we're unprofitable servants. We've only done what the Master asked us to do. And that's so with us. You know, we're unprofitable servants. We haven't really totally fulfilled the Lord's will. Because his will is so wonderful, is so great. But so it's not that you rejoice in Although there is great joy, it's like when a baby's born, you know. When somebody really comes to Jesus, that miracle that happens, they're born from above. And you see kind of little signs of new life almost straight away. But don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's the most wonderful thing. That nothing can take away from what God has done in Jesus, and that He's written my name up there for ever and ever. May God help us. May God encourage us as we remember the Lord Jesus in this special, special way. May His love flood our souls. And may the Lord bless you. Let's just pray. Blessed Lord Jesus, continue your work in our hearts, I pray. O Lord, whenever we open your word, we are challenged and we are humbled by it. And yet, your love shines out, O Lord. And I thank you for every name here that's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And pray that there may be even more, that we may be sure of what you have done for each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.